Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. Up next is Dr. James Wanless. We specifically wanted to talk to Dr. Wanless about his upcoming speaking engagement. He's going to be speaking at the next Creation Study Group meeting that takes place right here in Greenville. I believe that's at Second Pres in downtown Greenville, right? Okay. And if you want to find out more, you can go out to the creationstudygroup.org website. That's www.creationstudygroup.org. And right there in the middle of the page, you'll see it says next upcoming CSG meeting. And it says January 16th. Dr. James Wanless, the university professor and space physicist, presents Let There Be Light, Some Considerations of the Nature of Light and Its Influence on the Age of the Universe. We're going to talk about that in just a minute, but as I mentioned earlier, I can't help but asking Dr. Wanless to comment a little bit on what's going on with this vortex. There's a vortex out there. I was, to me, a lot of this is somewhat comical. I'm not laughing at the fact that people are cold or that this can be a serious event for people that are, for some reason, out in the cold and that type of thing. I'm not laughing at that. What I am laughing at is the way that the media and all the hype about what is going on. They've got this new thing created. I've never heard this till this year, but a polar vortex. And if you watch the different news stories on different channels, they all have their own graphics for this thing, you know, and it kind of reminds me of like the blob or something, and some of those old science fiction films. I get it confused, scientific and science fiction, because there's so much blending of that that's taking place today. But they're all got their own little graphic that's going on about this thing. I mean, it is just everywhere about what is taking place. The one that got me the most, I found the most comical, was the one out on CNN. CNN had this segment that they did, and they were asking questions on the website. Here's one of them. It says this: when was the last big one to hit a densely populated area? And so it goes on to explain that. Here's the second question, the follow-up after this on their website. It says, if you get caught up in one, what should you do? So apparently people are thinking that this is some sort of a big tornado type of thing, and that you can get caught up in and they're thinking this because of all the hype that's out there. You can get caught up into this vortex, and like a spaceship or something, it can suck you up into it. And what should I do if I get caught up in one of these? So we're going to pose that question to Dr. Wanless. Dr. Wanless, what should we do? What if we get caught in this vortex of vulnerability? What's your solution for us?
Oh, of course, Kevin. Thank you for having me on. None of this is supposed to be happening, right?
It's supposed to be global warming.
I guess if you get caught up in the vortex, you should call the mothership as you're going up, and maybe Al Gore will answer.
They seem to have gotten themselves into a position, they being the global warming alarmists, right, where we now have cold weather, a tremendous amount of cold weather that is taking over a great swath of the United States. And so they're actually find themselves in this untenable position of saying that this is actually a result of global warming. Now, you know, it's going to take a little bit to switch this one around, but they seem to try to put themselves in a position that no matter what the evidence is saying, it all is backing up their idea of climate change. Am I understanding this correctly?
Yes. You know, the whole paradigm began in the late 80s with the United Nations, various climate conferences and so on. So then it was global warming. We haven't had global warming now for about 17 years, and that's fairly well known. And even the mainstream media, in some cases, certainly many of the mainstream scientists are beginning to admit this. In those, the ClimateGate scandal a few years ago, people admitted that this was embarrassing because all of the models, there's 70-plus models, climate models out there, were unable to explain what was going on. They all predicted rapidly increasing global warming because of increased carbon dioxide output, not from Americans, because our carbon dioxide emissions in this country are at about 1990 levels now, but from China and India. So they're causing very rapid increases of carbon dioxide. Meanwhile, we've had no global warming, zero, maybe some slight cooling since about 1998. Mm. So the global warming paradigm was changed to climate change, because we know that climate's always changing. So that's very convenient, because no matter what happens, you can blame it on climate change. If you have too much snow or too little snow, you know how it is in mm-hmm. the media. Every hot day, every record that's broken of some kind gets hyped as global warming. Now what do you do with these extreme cold temperatures? Well, it's a little more difficult, but as you said, people are still hyping this as global warming induced. Not so many people, because it's hard to beat evidence with the eyes, but there are a number of scientists who are saying that this has to do with global warming as well.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. I have my cell phone on. It just went off there. But you're absolutely right. I mean, if you just type in global warming as a news item search on Google or something, you'll see that a number of them are out today in full force, no less than the great scientist Al Sharpton is also out there doing this as well. But out there saying that this is actually an event, all this cold that's taking place is actually an event that proves global warming. And so, like you're saying, this is like selling ice to an Eskimo. This is going to be a little bit harder sell. We also have the other event taking place where the ship that has gone in order to check out the ice caps melting and the proof of global warming, has now gotten stuck in the very ice that they were saying is quickly dissipating. So, I mean, it's becoming a little bit of a laughing stock of the country, and I'm a little bit concerned about just the idea that true science. Guys like you that actually look at real data and, actually look at the empirical data that comes in, that the credibility of science as a whole is at stake. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Science is being harmed tremendously. Science is sold as the pursuit of knowledge. Mm. And when you've got people who no longer believe in truth, increasingly, if we're living in a society which rejects a Christian view of truth, essentially, that there is truth, that we can find it, that it's objective, when people stop believing that and start believing instead that things are all about power, everybody has their perspective, so what is truth after all? And many, many people are beginning to act like this. It's this whole concept of relativism. We see it morally as well. A man is a woman. What's the difference anyway? What's the big deal? Mm-hmm. So what's the big deal with this truth issue? Well, Christians are very concerned with truth. Of course, we believe that we should not tell lies, that this is a terrible sin and God is displeased. So we are searching for truth, and that's probably why, you have this situation here where more and more people are jumping on this bandwagon. Tons, billions of dollars just in the United States are thrown by the government to prove global warming. So everything is spun in terms of global warming, and truth is a casualty. And of course, if truth is a casualty, then, we're living in a very dangerous time. Mm-hmm. Because when we start messing with truth, you lose liberty. This where Jesus Christ said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, if you take away the truth, take away life as well, and life becomes very dangerous. Mm-hmm. Because powerful people can do whatever they want to do. They make the truth, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
We titled this broadcast Knowing the Truth, and it's tied to the verse there in John that speaks about the idea that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. It results in that liberty that you're talking about. And that's what we're seeing, that the liberty is being curtailed by this out-of-control, alarmist, global warming or environmental activist groups that are out there.
Yes.
A small but vocal minority that is convincing people with very little evidence to back it up. And as you pointed out, part of this is follow the money. There's money to be made here in this global warming alarmist thing. Primarily, right, the redistribution of wealth. That what is going to take place is with this carbon footprint, and that is we're going to have to pony up and pay some money for what we have done to the environment, and we're going to have to spread the wealth around the world, give away money in order to make up for the sins that we've committed with emissions. Is that a is that what's the bottom line to all of this?
United Nations Agenda 21 and the President's Council for Sustainable Development in this country essentially spells that out and says pretty much the same thing. And you already are seeing this being implemented. The United States EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, just in the past week has now thrown 141, I think, new regulations because we've got to atone essentially in the United States for our sins. They're going to shut down coal-fired power plants from which we get, 70% of our power in Belton, South Carolina, just around the corner. The coal-fired power plant was just shut down, and my friend, a farmer there on 200 acres, his power bill just jumped 40% because the power that he needs has to come from somewhere, and they've shut down the power plant, not willingly, but because these regulations from the EPA were coming down. They were warned. There's no way for them to meet the standards, which is, I guess, a follow-up on President Obama's promise before he was president. He said to the San Francisco Chronicle, I believe it was, that people can try to have their coal-fired power plants. They're welcome to do that, but he's going to make it so expensive that we're going to basically abolish coal, which, again, you know, we'd love to have a cleaner power source. That would be wonderful. But when you live in a utopian fairyland, we don't have those power sources available to us.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to die right now, for instance, during this cold snap because of power issues. People end up getting hurt because of this alarmism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people saw it take place here at the beginning of the year with the idea that you can't buy a regular light bulb anymore.
Yep.
They put a whole industry out because of these standards. So you can't make the decision, hey, I like this type of light bulb over this type of light bulb. By the way, the new light bulb, too, you practically have to call a hazmat team if you break the thing because of what the mercury that's in it, by the way. But anyways, you don't have the liberty to make that choice now because a whole industry has been put out of business as a result of these types of standards.
That's
so
right.
We're going to continue to witness more and more of this. I wanted you to just, what we've been articulating a little bit has been that Christians are not anti-science. In fact, some of the greatest scientists in history have been Christians. What we are anti is pseudoscience, right?
We're for truth, essentially. Science is the pursuit of truth, and this is God's world. We believe that, in fact, science, as we know it, as you said, is a product of a Christian mindset. It's not a mistake that science did not arise in China or India where they had different religions. It's a product of a Christian mindset where we believe instead of a cyclical universe where there's yin and yang and stuff happens, we believe in a universe ordered by a God who reveals himself as a God of law and order.
Hmm.
He says to do all things decently in order. He does this himself. And he says that we can search and we can study his creation and see his fingerprints of law and order. So scientists, even atheist scientists today, will go out, do their science on the assumption, they can't prove this, but on the assumption that there is truth out there and that it can be found.
Hmm.
Christians can actually justify those assumptions because we have the scriptures which tell us that indeed is the case. We are God's image. We can discover what he has made. We can recognize his fingerprints because we are his image, and we can discover that order. It really is there.
Hmm. Before we get talking about your subject that you're going to be speaking about at the upcoming Creation Study Group, let me first of all remind the listening audience we're speaking with Dr. James Wanless. And James is also the author of the book called The Green Dragon. I wanted to ask you, James, it's been a long time since we spoke about that book, but what has transpired now that the book has been out for a significant amount of time. What's been your feedback and how has it been received?
Well, Resisting the Green Dragon has been polarizing, to say the least. Mm. My reviews on Amazon.com are either 5 stars, love it, this is telling, you know, getting the truth out there and giving the worldview, theology, and ethics of the Green Movement, or 1 star, hate it. Now, this guy hates Mother Earth and wants to kill and destroy everything, which is, of course, not true. They obviously haven't read the book. I have had some feedback at my college, university where I work, and a lot of professors have not appreciated some of what I've written, not only from the college, but other places. I think that Christians more and more need to speak the truth, and I know that it costs people. It's beginning to cost more and more to speak the truth, but we can't stop. You know, a steady recession of truth ends up in a bad place. We can't just let it slide because that's not a big deal. It's just a small thing. We need to speak the truth here. Thankfully, I've been quite safe in the bigger picture, because when people have criticized some of what I've said, I've been able to back it up with good science and good theology. And so I've been kept safe, but I should give God the glory and say that the Lord has kept me safe from any trouble, shall I say.
In your answer, you mentioned Christians in particular. Are Christians still very confused about this issue? Do they either have they bought into the environmentalist mantra? Have they? Do they think, hey, this is just about paper versus plastics, or are they kind of naive about the ramifications of what we're talking about? Or what's your assessment of the evangelical Christian church and how well they understand this subject?
In the early 1990s, there was a movement formed, the National Religious Partnership for the Environment, formed by Al Gore amongst a number of people, with the specific purpose of breaking down what they perceived to be resistance amongst the evangelical community. Many of the mainstream churches were buying into the global warming movement then in a big way, but evangelicals were not, and I believe that's because there's this attachment to truth. We still believe, by and large, that the scripture is the truth, and it tells us not to tell lies and so on. And so we're more skeptical, as we should be. We're more careful about looking at the data, not so easily led as people would have it. So they put in tens of millions of dollars just the past 10 years or so. A program ended basically to green seminaries, green Bible studies, and so on. And there have been lots of materials produced free of charge. You can get them from NRPE, and they sent them to thousands and tens of thousands of congregations and seminaries around the country, Jewish synagogues as well, Roman Catholic as well, to basically try to change the Christian message from you have a responsibility as a Christian, not as Jesus said, to speak the gospel and spread the gospel and create disciples of all the earth, but to save the planet. So moving it subtly from salvation of human beings to salvation of the planet. Of course, that confuses the true gospel message, which tells us that Jesus came to save men and women from their sins. But Amen. Of course, the gospel message includes the fact that the creation groans for the eager expectation of the revealing of the sons of God. So God has a plan of redemption, which includes the creation, sans man. But you can't decouple those. Human beings, the gospel message is not save the planet. Jesus came to save human beings. And in doing so, as the gospel spreads over the earth, everybody is blessed, including the birds and the bees. And so my long-term outlook is very positive, but at this moment I'm afraid that many people, as in the Christian church, are being overwhelmed by the hype, the media, and sadly they're getting too much of their media from let's call it mainstream sources, which have no concern for the truth. They're trying to sell a lie. The Jesus told us not to be lovers of the world, and I'm afraid that we are too much. We need a revival in this country, or else there is no hope.
When we hear the term, then, creation care, Is that a code word for the group that's bought in, or is that actually part of the a right understanding of environmental issues?
I think in every case, you really need to ask people what they mean. Mm-hmm. They need to define their terms, because you or I could use that term in an entirely biblical way, and other people can't. Again, this is the problem of truth. When people stop believing in truth, they start playing free and loose with the meaning of words. They equivocate, mm-hmm. right? They say love, and they mean sodomy, as if these two things are, it's just love. Mm-hmm. You're against love? Wait a second, right? And it's the same with the words like evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe your hair evolves? Mm-hmm. Mine is certainly evolving now. I'm losing some of it. Well, you know, don't you believe that the weather evolves? You're evolving then, etc. Wait a second. What do you mean by that?
Mm. So
I think we need to define terms and be honest. And in an age where honesty is not valued, this becomes more dangerous and gullible people are more easily captured. We should not be captured as Christians. That's why it's right for us to be careful, to search the scriptures to see if these things are so.
Amen. And to take every thought and imagination of man and bring it into the back to the Word of God, the touchstone of Scripture, and compare it. Excellent. I got to ask you then about your presentation coming up, speaking about light and how light would help us to evaluate the age of the universe. That sounds pretty heavy here. Can you give us a little bit of a foretaste of what we'll learn at that particular meeting?
Sure, Kevin. The speed of light is around about 670 million miles per second.
Hmm.
So it travels really rapidly. And the idea that we have of light as physicists is that it's produced by atomic processes. You can produce light. If you were Superman and you could grab a charged particle and shake it fast enough, you can produce light.
Hmm.
We're all producing light. In a sense, our physical bodies are compressed light. We're all glowing at about 100 joules every second, as much as those band light bulbs used to be. So we're all burning up light. So we know, thanks to Einstein and others, that there's this relationship between matter and light.
Hmm.
You know, E equals MC squared is that famous relationship. So it's not surprising that for me to say, really, that we're compressed light, our physical bodies, that we're glowing in the dark, literally. But in the recent decades, there has been some evidence that the speed of light, when measured against a fixed distance, is actually getting slower. And that's very fascinating, because the speed of light, when you study the physics of the situation in the equations, it's comprised of electromagnetic phenomena, and this, if the speed of light is changing, there are so-called constants of nature, which are also changing then, which comprise the speed of light. They're called the permeability of free space and the permittivity of free space. They're both electric and magnetic properties. One or both of those is changing. Both of those parameters come into things like measurement of radioactive decay rates. So it's interesting to speculate on what this means. It would mean that radioactive decay rates and timing, dating of various things is greatly overestimated.
Hmm.
If the speed of light were much faster in the past, it also has implications for Genesis 1, for early starlight. And what's fascinating is that some major scientists are really beginning to jump on this as well. In the past decade, a number of scientists, UCSD in San Diego and University College London and others, Imperial College, have written papers speculating on the variable speed of light theories.
Mm.
So I'll be speaking about some of that. Of course, they don't want this to change their cosmology. It's kind of like looking up, there's this interesting situation. The psychiatrist has somebody on his couch who's got a problem. He thinks he's dead. So the psychiatrist says to him, "Wait a second, I figured this out. You think you're dead. Do dead people bleed?" The man says, "No." So the psychiatrist stands up, pricks him, squeezes his finger and says, "Aha, you're bleeding." And the man says, "Wow, dead men do bleed. You know, this is the situation. Yeah. People are now beginning to see, well, maybe the variable speed of light theory is something reasonable, but they're still not willing to accept that this will challenge their cosmology. It does, but the problem is cosmology is so messed up right now that they're beginning to reach for this, but they're not seeing some of the more scary implications for what they believe.
The actual, I'm sorry, the actual application of it in their life and taking the ramifications of those conclusions. It reminds me of Sagan, you know, where he says we'll go wherever the information leads us, and then but it leads them to back to God. Well, we're not going there, you know. So they because it's more of a religiously held belief, and that's where people are mistaken. They think that it's all just empirical data, but it's not. It morphs over into that this is a belief system that they hold to, and they're not just looking at just the data itself and coming to these conclusions. James, we're looking forward to it, and thank you so much for being with us on the program today. We really appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and give the folks the information here again about the upcoming event, but thank you for joining us via Skype today, and thanks for your work on talking about these issues. It's been very helpful in my own life. I know my congregation, we talked much about your book, and we saw the associated videos along with it, and it really helped people to have discernment now as to when they see all these things in the news. So we really appreciate your work.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Again, that was Dr. James Wanless. And as you can see from our or hear from our discussion today, certainly going to be interesting to hear him speak over there at the next meeting of the Creation Study Group. It's going to be on January 16th. Go on out to their webpage at creationstudygroup.org. It's all one word, creationstudygroup, all one word, .org. And when you go out there, you'll find out more about James's presentation. It's going to be January 16th at Second Pres right here in downtown Greenville. You don't want to miss it. You can find out the location and all the information associated with it out at that website. Remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We'll be back here again, Lord willing, tomorrow, talking about that truth right here on Knowing the Truth. See you then.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.